Hi, thank you for joining us at this session this morning. I'm going to be speaking about a study that we conducted in Boston. I also do not have any relationships to disclose. Okay, I need to say that. Okay, so I'm going to be talking about a study that we conducted in Boston in two women's day shelters. We actually looked at the medical services that they received in those shelters. Now, since we are based in Boston and in Massachusetts, we do have universal health care that has been in place since 2006. So what we wanted to do was actually look at a more of a general question, not so much looking at access barriers, but maybe looking beyond that a bit. Why were the women using shelter services when there were so much available medical care in the community? One of the questions we had was, can we quantify the value of the services that they receive in the shelters? We were looking more at outcomes, and as you can see, there are standard outcomes in which we really weren't trying to focus our study, but more at alternative outcomes, maybe navigation skills, health literacy, other pieces. And then really kind of the basis of the study was, what was it about the care they were receiving in the shelters that was different than what they would get in other medical care that they could receive in the community? Were there factors about who they were, predicting factors that we could identify? Was it something about the experience of the care they received, or was it more something about the services that they were getting in the shelters? Okay. So again, as I mentioned before, in Massachusetts with universal health care, we do have, the insurance was intended to address kind of the cost and coverage barriers. Nearly one in five residents are now covered in our public, our Medicare, Medicaid services under MassHealth. And there are actually options for vulnerable populations, academic medical centers, community health centers. We have a vibrant Boston Healthcare for the Homeless program. So people are getting care in areas, except they're coming to the shelters for, the women are coming to shelters for care. And we know that part of it is that we have strained primary care providers, because now we have increased the number of people who actually are using care. And then, of course, one of the pieces that we have identified is that it is a complex system of healthcare services, which make it difficult for vulnerable populations to access care. One of the other pieces which kind of is the context of our study is that the vulnerable population of the women that we serve actually have additional barriers. These are things that are pretty significant. Treatments requiring long-term management and coordination, expectations of functionality, cognitive, and executive ability, which the women that we serve, the homeless women, that is lacking. Multiple medical and psychiatric conditions is our population. System navigation skills, definitely something that requires the other pieces that I discussed. Magnitude of perceived barriers is huge, huge to accessing care. History of adverse health care experiences. So they haven't had positive experiences in their interactions with the medical care community. So we know what the long and short-term impacts are of this, and it's delays in receiving appropriate care, ER visits that could be prevented, and huge unmet healthcare needs. So we were interested in looking at the work of the organization that is in the women's shelters, and that is Women in Means, as I mentioned before. The director is actually here, and a medical student who works is also here. And what we did was say, okay, so these are services in the clinics. Women are using them. Why are they using them? If we don't necessarily address it from the access barrier piece, but we look from a different perspective and say maybe it's something about the care they receive in the shelters that Women in Means provides, maybe that's where we can begin to learn some lessons that we could apply more generally. So what is Women in Means? It's shelter-based services in the shelters. It's free walk-in care provided on-site. It was incorporated about 10 years ago, although the founder had been working for many years before that in the shelters on her own before she incorporated the organization. Volunteer doctors and staff nurses. There are a few staff nurses. Several volunteer doctors rotate in and out on a weekly basis. So now that I'm taking more time, I'm going to hurry. Okay, so the types of services that they provide, supplemental support and assistance, preventive care, a wide range of services. Okay, so what was the study? We wanted to look at what was it about the care that they provided that we can we quantify this? Can we say that there is some value to the care? So we looked at predictive factors that possibly drive the use. We looked at supplemental health care services. How can we quantify what they're doing? And can we develop a best practices model? So our study was women and means clients, so the women who used the services. We did a survey with 102 women, asked them several questions. The survey took ideally 45 minutes, but often less, given our population. We had several non-participant observations that took place, 72, and then we assessed wellness records. We used various analysis tools to find out, really, to analyze this data. Okay, so what were some of the predictive factors, some of the significance? So we did look at general population numbers, which were all over the map, so they really aren't really where to focus, but really to focus on some of the answers to some of the questions. And we see that we have about a quarter of the women did not complete high school, so this is more kind of their demographics, their characteristics. Who are they? A quarter used shelter housing in the past year. Several used public assistance, so we know that they use services outside the shelter. A high number of traumatic childhood experiences, 61%, and health literacy. So this is just a graph showing some of the childhood, you know, negative experiences. They received many, many sexually, emotionally, and physically abused. So we have a very vulnerable population, has experienced a lot of trauma. Another is kind of looking at the health factors. How do they feel? So this is self-reported data. This is survey data. Over half feel that they have poor to fair health. Over half have chronic health conditions, and this is actually one or more, mostly more than one. Several smoke. Mood and anxiety disorders are very high in this population, and many, many take prescription medications. And this is just a graph showing, actually these are the blue is from medical records, but what to focus on the red, the survey data, you can see a lot of self-reported depression, anxiety. So we have a population, again, that is quite vulnerable. So what was it, what we wanted to find out, was there something positive about the experience, you know, given who they are, about the experience in the care that they received in the shelter? So these are great. If we look at the care they receive from the Women Meets provider versus mainstream care, we have high numbers in both categories, but the time. Time is really one of the pieces that differentiate the care in the shelter. And 94% said that they given enough time to describe the health issues. So one of the things we did find is a positive correlation between that. Also, health education materials, they were getting that in the shelter. They weren't getting any they were getting not a significant number in the mainstream care, 26%. Were they getting most of their health needs addressed? 89% with Women Meets provider. They said significant number of mainstream care, but when we investigated further, we found that those needs were kind of the primary needs. When they spent more time with the provider at Women and Means, they were actually getting to other issues that were that impacted their health. Okay, so again, some of the results. Do they associate with the regular provider? Yes, a huge number of the women, given Massachusetts healthcare law and that we do have coverage, many, many associate with the regular provider, but that wasn't as significant as much as the experience. When you look further at mainstream care, you see that mental or behavioral health concerns, 19%, felt that they could address that in their primary care visits, which, given the population which I showed earlier, most likely that is a significant driver to some of their issues. And then if you look at Women and Means, the experience there, you can see, I pay more attention to my health because of Women and Means, so these are experience outcomes that are very positive for short and long-term health benefits. I've improved my communication with my PCP because of Women and Means provider. So not only do they provide care in the shelters, but they provide system navigation is one of the pieces. So in accessing their mainstream provider, they improve that experience. So we also looked at the amount of time that the women, the encounters, these were from the observations, and you can kind of see the it hovers around 21 to 30 minutes and 11 to 20 minutes, so depending on what they were seeing for an acute care or a social support, but the variability in encounter times actually was one of the positives of this. And what we also found was the longer the encounter times, the greater opportunity for case management, medical coordination, and social assistance, even if they came in for an acute care purpose initially. So it was that time piece was so critical, and the type of care that they received. You can see this is maybe something I don't have to go through, but we have a bulk of the clients come for kind of acute care, kind of a drive-through, and then we have the other bulk actually comes regularly. So you can see this is the frequency of the visits. And the types of services that Women in Needs provides, you can see there are several types of medical services, preventive care, but also what I want to focus on is the social support services side. They do a lot of talking to the patients and spending time, which is really the value in which that's the place that we were seeing really the value. So talk with the nurses, doctors about general medical issues, 41% come to just do that. Not necessarily for treatment, but what happens when they're there, the doctor has time, the nurse has time to investigate other issues. Also medical education, huge, and medical referrals, so they do interact with mainstream care. So really what seemed to differentiate the care in this with Women in Means in the shelters was their social support and assistance services. So the to differentiate the care in this, we found the high prevalence of anxiety, depression, and stress in the patient population, which correlates well with positive outcomes with social support and assistance. We found alternative outcomes that I will discuss later are associated with social support and assistance services. So we weren't focusing so much on blood pressure level changes, but more on the types of outcomes that could benefit the women in the long term and helping them access mainstream care. So really the three pieces that came out of this study were that there was something definitely about the experience of the encounter that was positive. This is why the women were coming. They felt it was a supportive healthcare experience. They also felt the benefits of social support along with clinical care was something that we were able to highlight, and that the service and relationship changes were correlated with increased flexibility and time. So if somebody had initially come in for an acute purpose, it could move to maybe more that they had a traumatic experience or some other reason that they were not feeling well, or there was some reason that they were impacted. We also found that the alternative outcomes area that we focused to try to really see if that was something that was positive about their experience in the shelter. We did find that many, many women felt that it was very empowering and transforming, which is not usually what is associated with medical care or health care. What we found was medical care and social support in the same setting increases the impact of the encounter, improves the experience. So that was one of the key findings. And also the social support and assistance services, that aspect to the care of Women in Means. lots and lots of research supports the value of social support and assistant model for positive short and long-term health outcomes, and an increase in encounter times associated with greater opportunity to provide social support and assistance. So the model of Women and Means is a patient-centered, context-specific model. It facilitates access to mainstream medical care services. We avoid duplication of medical care, mainstream medical care and community resources, but more access to those, and provide an alternative path to improved health and health. So in conclusion, this model of supplemental health care is used for many reasons beyond the standard barriers of cost, location, availability, some of these things, or even perceived barriers is the focus. Benefits include a positive health experience and access to a broad spectrum of adjunct medical and social services. And primarily, the place where we were very excited was that there were positive outcomes that we were beginning to measure and that are now the focus of a lot of the measurements that the organization is focusing, that there are a lot of positive outcomes associated. One is that women feel empowered to make their own healthcare decisions. There's an increase in health literacy. There's a positive healthcare reference in which to build. Many of these women have had negative experiences. Strengthened social support network. They are actually, these doctors and nurses are somewhat of a social support network for these women. Improved navigation skills, so now they can feel confident about moving in the mainstream care and feeling more positive about the future, which is big for this population. One of the pieces that we really want to do is quantify the value of the supplemental health care services. In the beginning, it's in looking at these alternative outcomes. How will the Affordable Care Act impact this? Actually, it's great news. There is some funding for having this organization be part of a medical home and expanding this model to other vulnerable populations. And thank you.
Thank you.